the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In this recording, we have a special message from Wayne Simmons. Wayne and his family are friends of our church, and we always love it when they come and visit us. Today, he speaks on personal revival.
I want to speak to you about a subject that God's been speaking to me a lot about just these last few months, about personal revival. Now, sure, you know, being in Wales, you know what revival's all about and the stories we've heard from those incredible moves of God in the past. But I want to talk about the incredible moves of God in our personal lives. How we experience Jesus, how often we experience, how deeply we experience Jesus. And just as I've been reading through the book of Isaiah, just some incredible truths have popped out to me I want to share with you today. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 1 to 4. Isaiah 6 verse 1 to 4 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts shook, doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." It goes on about Isaiah's reaction to what he sees there, but we'll talk about that more tonight. But I want to concentrate on these few angels that are flying around the throne this morning. Isaiah gets an incredible experience. We know at the calling at the beginning of his service to God, of a vision, whether he actually was taken up into heaven or whether heaven came down to earth where he was in a vision, or however it was, whether he got taken up or God came down, the effect was still amazing. The vision, what he saw, still changed his life dramatically. And, you know, there's a number of examples of this in the Bible where God has called people up or he's come down. Of course, we know the Apostle Paul, Jesus came down when he was on the road to Damascus and revealed himself to him. But there was another point in Paul's life where he said, "I was caught up to the third heaven. Whether I was in the body or in the spirit, I do not know." And Paul was unsure as to how or what was actually happening, but what changed him was very real. His experience with Jesus in the throne room, in the presence of God, he heard incredible things. And then we see later on John in the fourth chapter of Revelation, he says, "A door opened up and Jesus in heaven, and Jesus called to me and said, 'Come up here.'" And of course, Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that because Jesus, our great high priest, has gone through the heavens, we can boldly come before the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus. And so either way, this invitation for Jesus to come down and invade our lives with his presence, or those incredible experiences of or in the spirit where he calls us up, these are encounters with the living God that changes our lives. They are extremely life-changing, empowering encounters. And this is what I want to speak a little about this morning, about this personal revival that God is calling his church to, this personal experience of him. It's incredible. The first thing Isaiah saw was these seraphs. It's the only place in the Bible we hear about them. And it seems to be that they are in the presence of God. They're created and they live there. In fact, they live just in the throne of God. They are flying round the throne, going round and round in circles. And they they have a very limited vocabulary. They're just shouting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And Isaiah is caught up in this incredible vision, and it starts to explain to us, and it doesn't adequately tell us in the English translations exactly what's going on, but the Hebrew is far more descriptive in its explanation of what's going here. But the truth of the matter is Isaiah comes into the presence of Jesus. And this is what following the Lord is all about, regularly coming in to his presence. If there's anything that's going to personally revive our life, both here on earth and prepare us for life in heaven, it's that genuine, real encounter with the presence of God that changes us from the inside out. When we see these guys, you know, we get an understanding that, you know, sometimes just imagine their lifestyle for a moment. Being in the same room, the throne room of God, going round in circles, traveling the same path again and again and again and again and again, every minute of every day. Now, I know there's no time in heaven, but to help us understand, we'll use earthly terminology. These created beings just seem to be doing one thing all the time. Now, we see it here at Isaiah, but around 600-700 years later, when John is caught up into heaven in Revelation, he sees these same angels doing the same thing, saying the same thing. So we can gather from that, these angels created, whenever they were first created, for thousands of years, have been going round in circles, treading the same path or flying the same path, same old scenery, saying the same old things again and again and again, holy, holy, holy. Don't they have any other vocabulary to say? Don't they have anything else to do? Imagine just for a moment an earthly life like that, where man, your life's just going round in circles in one room again and again and again, day in, day out. And you're only seeing one thing, holy, holy, holy. You'd think it'd be a bit monotonous. You'd think you'd get a bit bored. You'd think you'd get a bit stir crazy, wanting at least a little bit of a change of scenery. But these guys, the same old scenery, the same old situation, again and again and again, round and round and round in circles. And man, I wonder what they must be thinking, having an experience like that. Well, we know, even though they're doing those things, life in the presence of God is far different than life in the world, life in the natural. Life in the supernatural is much different from life in the natural. It's completely opposite. You see, the Bible tells us that they are, with one set of wings, they're covering their faces. Another set of wings, they're flying. Another set of wings, they're covering their feet. Of course, the flying, we can understand, they're flying around the throne. So they need at least one set of wings. But the other set of wings, they're covering their faces. And why are they covering their faces? I wonder, is it, you know, as the Bible teaches us, that emanating out of the being of God, out of the glory of God, the presence of God, is incredible light. But the Bible talks about much more than that. There's incredible sound. But in this case, there's incredible revelation. Now, we can safely glean this from what's happening here because of what they're saying. They're shouting, holy, 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 but they're not saying that to God. They're saying that to each other. They're calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And when you read the Hebrew words, the word they use in there that's translated as holy is kadosh in the Hebrew. And this is an incredible word. The word has a lot of emotional connotation, but if we were to translate it properly, we'd have to use a number of English words. It means, wow, he's incomparable. Oh, wow, God is indescribable. Wow, God, there's no one like you in all creation. Wow, God, you're separate from anything else. You're unique. You're superior. You're set apart. You're one of a kind. Nothing can compare with you. No one can compare with you. You are the fairest of 10,000. And we could go on and on and on to describe what this word kadosh really means. But what they're doing is they're calling out to each other and they're asking themselves a question. And it's almost like, guys, wow, did you get a glimpse of who God is? Wow, he's indescribable. Wow, that revelation of God is so awesome. Nothing is like him on the face of the earth. Wow, God, you're incomparable. You're superior. And all those words they're saying together because this wow factor, because they just received, emanating out of the presence of God, they've just received a revelation of who he is. Whoom, a wave, a sight, a glimpse of the presence of God has hit their minds and it's wowed them. It's overawed them. It's caused them to cover their eyes. I can't take any more of who God is. I need to cover my eyes and not look at him for a moment to grasp what that revelation was, to assimilate, to digest, to absorb, to fully understand. Wow, God, you're incredible. You're superior. You're unique. Kadosh. Kadosh, in fact, was the only adequate word in their vocabulary they could say to what they just experienced, to what they just saw in God's presence. And so I really believe they've covered their eyes to try and absorb and call out to one another, did you see that? Did you understand that? Did you just get that revelation of who he is? And as they fly around crying out, yes, he's holy, wow, kadosh. And then maybe once they've absorbed that, they uncover their eyes again and see another one. And then when they've absorbed that, they get another one, and then another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And, you know, when we start putting scripture about God together, you know, the Bible says God is immeasurable. He's unending. He's eternal. He's everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. He has no beginning. He has no end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, etc., etc., etc. We know that God is so incredibly big. There will always be something to learn about God. There'll always be a new revelation as to who he is and what he's done and what he means and what he says and the wisdom and the knowledge and the greatness of who he is. These angels, for thousands of years, are getting built up by revelation upon revelation upon revelation upon revelation of God because they're in his presence 24/7. There is absolutely no monotony going on in their lives. They are not bored. They may be going round and round in circles in the same room, traveling through the same scenery, the same route, but I guarantee they see something new every time they go round that throne. In fact, they are in awe of who God is. Imagine a lifetime of in the presence of God, getting revelation upon revelation, how much of God they know and understand. Imagine if for a moment they came here now Sunday morning just to preach a message about who God is. What could they say? What is it they could give us this morning, man? Let me tell you something about who God is. Kaboom, kadosh, wow, bang, man. We'd all be on the floor. Some of us would be burnt up in that kind of fire of revelation of the presence of the Lord. What incredible lives these angels have. And it just reminds me, you know, of some of the things about what happens in the presence of God to us, you know, because I've experienced some of this stuff and I want to experience it more because we all need a personal revival. We all need a new touch from God. We all need a new revelation of who he is, a new understanding of Jesus, a new touch, a new infilling and of fire and life and passion and zeal and love for him. You know, the incredible thing they go on to say is that the whole earth is filled with this glory. Now, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, the earth and the world, the works of his hands. And everything about God can be seen, if we've got eyes to see and ears to hear, in creation. But it also tells me that because God is omnipresent, he's everywhere. He's not revealed everywhere to those that are not looking. But those that are searching, we can find God anywhere in creation. But not only that, we don't need to be in church Sunday morning or at the front of an altar call getting prayed for to experience this touch from the Lord. If the glory of the Lord fills the earth as the waters cover the sea, then this is available to us at any time, at any place, anywhere. This invitation to come and be with Jesus, to spend time in his presence, to be touched by him, to experience this wow revelation factor of who he is. Emanating out of God's presence is revelation of who he is. And it's just about getting into his glory, getting closer to him, having that wow experience, having that kadosh experience. Holy, one of a kind. How amazing, how fantastic, how beautiful, how glorious our God is. They shouted to each other, "Do you understand? Did you get that? Did you see that about him?" They are in awe and wonder. You know, as they go round, it's not a boring thing to them. Every new revelation takes them to a new height, a new knowledge, a greater experience of his power and his love and of his holiness and his separateness and his uniqueness and his majesty and beauty. They may be going through old scenery, but it's new knowledge. It's new life. It's new love. It's new heights. And it's incredible. It's new revelation. You know, Isaiah goes on to say in chapter 28, he gives us a great insight into, again, the spiritual realm, that it says that God's the knowledge of God is built in us line upon line, precept upon precept, revelation upon revelation. And that tells me something, that for these angels, you know, that they're being built up, they're being edified by these revelations, and they're being changed. Line upon line, precept upon precept, revelation upon revelation. And it tells me that the next revelation, they're never going to grasp until they've grasped the former revelation, because revelation is built on the foundation of former revelation. I remember the first revelation I ever had about God was that he's my judge and I deserve to go to hell on my sin. Man, now I'll talk a little bit more about that tonight, but that terrified me. That was my first revelation, real revelation. Instant downloadable knowledge that I hadn't studied, that I hadn't gone through a discipline to learn. Bang, I just knew it. You didn't need to tell me I deserved to go to hell. I knew it the moment I came into the presence of God, and it terrified me. But that was the first revelation. The second revelation was of his cleansing power of his blood and forgiveness. Man, that was powerful. That left me in a state of kadosh, but also in a guilty form. Like, how can this be, God, that you forgive me knowing what I've done and who I am? Like that great hymn writer, you know, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? How can it be? Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me?" It left me in an awe, in a kadosh state. And it was only when God showed me his love that it took a lot of that guilt away and that incredibleness away. But the one revelation, I needed that to understand the next one, my Savior. Because if I didn't know I needed to be saved, I would never grasp what it is to have a Saviour. If I didn't think anything was wrong in my life, I wouldn't have accepted Jesus. I wouldn't have been following him all these years. The one revelation prepared the way for the next. The second revelation is on the foundation of the first revelation. You know, there was four or five major revelations the first time I came into the presence of Jesus in my life. And each one was built on the other. And over the last 40 odd years, new revelations upon new revelations upon new revelations. You know, I've had new ones that's been built on the old ones. You know, if I look back now and think of some of them as being very basic, but then when I had them, they were very new and overwhelming, almost in my emotion. But I absorbed them. I got them. I understood them. And then came another one. And then came another one. Like these angels in the presence of the Lord there, revelation upon revelation. What must they know? What knowledge and wonder and incredible. See, they are changed. They're constantly growing in the presence of God. New upon new upon new. What an incredible experience of life they have. Being changed. The Bible, Paul calls it in Corinthians, being transformed from glory to ever-increasing glory. That Greek word there, ever-increasing, means it'll never end. It will always, forever be increasing if we remain in him. Because he's never-ending. There's always something more to be had. There's always something new to grasp from glory. Their character is being perfected because of the atmosphere they are in. And what an incredible lesson to us. If there's ever a place we are going to learn about Jesus where we need to be transformed and changed, it's going to happen in his presence. It's going to happen when we make that discipline of prayer and worship and seeking the Lord and waiting on the Lord, that bang, he comes and invades our lives down here with his presence, or boom, he takes us up to be with him in the air. And that is an in heaven. And either way, this effect is the same. There is no doubt. Revelation chapter 3 tells us that to his church, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock, waiting for us, trying to get our attention. That we knock the door because someone's trying to get our attention because they can't get in, the door shut. We have to go and open the door. See, John went into heaven. He knew he had the invitation to go up because he said, I saw a door in heaven open up and a voice say, come up here. He was invited. We've got to hear the knocking of Jesus on the doors of our hearts and open the door. And he says, he will come in and have fellowship with us. He'll come and eat with us and us with him. Jesus longs for the fellowship with us. He wants us to come regularly into his presence in a very real and life-changing way. But I wonder whether we know we have access to this, or if we've had access to this. When was the last time you had another new revelation of who he is? When was the last time you had that kadosh experience with Jesus? That, wow, God, nothing is like you. It changes you. It transforms you. You're never the same because it's a new revelation. It's a new knowledge. It's a new understanding of who he is and what he wants us to do through our lives. He invites us in from glory to ever-increasing glory. When was the last time you met with the Lord like that? We've often talked about the revivals when God's moved in great ways, and glory to God, yes, he did. Yes, he has, and we want that to happen again. But what about personal revival on us, in our lives, in our hearts? How hungry are you for that? You see, it doesn't start. These revelations, these experiences don't start when we die and go to heaven. They start here on the earth. They started in that football field that night I got saved, and they've never stopped over 40 years. I still get incredible kadosh, wow experiences with the Lord that keeps me on fire, that keeps me serving, that keeps me motivated to live this life for Jesus. I cannot do it without him. I need that fire. I need that presence. I need that, his love for me in my life. So sad many times that people had a revelation 15 years ago and they're still living off that revelation. Now, in one sense, listen, any revelation of God is a massive thing. Make no mistake about it. That Syrophoenician woman, when she said to Jesus, "You don't need to say the word," you know, when he called her a dog, you know, the dog shouldn't eat the children's bread. But she said, "No, but even the dogs get to eat what falls from the table. I don't need the whole loaf, Jesus. I just need a crumb of God. That is more than enough, because all the ingredients of who God is in the crumbs as well as in the bread. And I just need a little bit that falls from the children's table. If you just give me that little bit, my daughter will be healed." And Jesus says, "Wow, what faith. I've not seen faith like this in all of Israel." Jesus had a kind of wow factor with her faith. How's your faith? How are you walking with the Lord? How is your revelation? How is your zeal, your boiling, bubbling water of passion and zeal for the presence of God? How's your hunger for him? You see, it starts here. We live in it here on earth. And Paul says what we experience, and I've experienced some great things here, I can tell you that. But what we have here on earth access to is just a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. We only know in part right now. We only receive in part. The revelation is only part of what is to come. We see things as through a veil. And if there's that incredible here now, what is it going to be like when we see him face to face? It sounds crazy, but I can't wait to die and go there and be with him or get raptured, preferably raptured. That was what I would like to do. I want to go up like Superman. But, you know, what are you looking for in life? What is your hunger? What's your appetite for? What is your passion for? Man, like the Apostle Paul said, that I might know him. I might experience more of him. He knew what this was. He's been up to the third heaven. He's had Jesus invade his life here on the earth. He's had both experiences and he wants more. Simple as that. That personal, consistent revival, that infilling of Jesus in our lives. We need a new, constant, consistent update in our lives. Even the battle with our own sin and flesh, our personal battles. Man, how much do we need that strength of the Lord to win those things? To be holy because he is holy. To go through the pruning and the cleaning so that we can share in his holiness, because we know without holiness, no one will see the Lord because he's a consuming fire. We want God to cleanse us and keep us clean, and we've got to get in his presence because that resets everything. It's like pressing the reset button. We see who we are in reality and who he is. And just that glimpse of him again is wow. And it fills us again with his love and his power and his motivation for serving. You see, our worship. See, they were worshiping God round the throne, saying these things. Their worship, these angels, came from their experience of the revelation of who he is. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Wow. God, you are incredible. And they just worship. Now, we know sometimes in worship, you know, God really comes and fills our hearts and lives. And that is great. And that's great to have corporate worship. We just get lost in praise and adoration and wonder. we give our all in singing. We get carried away sometimes because we are emotional people and God has created us that way. And the fact that the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You understand joy is an emotion, right? Joy is something we experience and feel. And that comes from knowing him and experiencing him. And it's supposed to be our strength for life. The peace that passes all understanding is another experience, that strength and security of the shield of faith when we stand against the devil and his wily schemes. We've got to understand these are emotions. And it's okay to get emotional. Man, sometimes God touches me and I cry. I'll finish with a little story in a moment. But our worship comes from our revelation and knowledge of who he is. And what he's done. And what he's doing. See, it's not old scenery. We're not getting stagnant. We're not getting boggy. It's fresh life. It's a new reason to worship this morning. What he did for us last week is a new reason for me to sing about his love and his praises and his grace and his mercy. It stops us getting stagnant in our faith and religious. See, life can be monotonous and seem to go round in circles at times. And when life can be like that on the earth, in our spirits and in the spiritual, in the heavens, life in God's presence is never like that. Ask these boys, ask these angels, ask these seraphims. They know all about what's going on. Same thing again and again, round in circles, but wild horses couldn't drag them away from that throne room, from that presence. They would not want to leave. You know, so many times I've been lost in the presence of God at home, in my personal prayer time and worship, in the closet, in the secret place, and just crying before the Lord, tears of utter joy, or laughing, or just waiting on the Lord, groaning just in the weight of his beauty. Not even praying or asking God for help or for needs, just basking, sunbathing in his presence, just at the revelation of who he is. Kadosh. Wow, God, that's who you are. That's what you've done for me. That's why you changed automatically. You transformed in his presence automatically. It's an automatic thing you cannot avoid. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Church, imagine from Sunday to next Sunday, we all have these experiences. Imagine what worship's going to be like next Sunday. Or the prayer meeting, or the Bible study. Imagine what our expressions of joy and love and zeal are going to be like if we have an experience of personal revival. Like these angels, we come into the glory, the presence of God. Whether we go up or down, it's the same thing. God, come and invade us. Bring me to your presence. And we get that experience of awe and wonder again of who he is, a new revelation that's built on the previous ones, that we're not living off a 20-year-old revelation anymore, even though God is enough. It's a new one. God never designed us to have just one or two. It's a never-ending river again and again and again and again, that we might know him. What would Sunday be like if the whole church was like that? Having that kind of personal revival, that encounter, personal encounter with Jesus. You know, it's a very clear spiritual principle. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. You know, in the natural, we eat when we're hungry. But in the supernatural, it's the opposite. The more we eat, the hungrier we get. When we taste and see how good God is, we want more. And the more we get, the hungrier we get. We want more. We want deeper. We want greater. We want bigger. We want more of who he is. So the question the challenge to us this morning is what's our appetites like today? Where's our thirst? Where's our hunger? Didn't Jesus say in John chapter 7, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink? Didn't Paul say, hey, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit? Have that experience with him. What's your desire? What's your thirst? What's your appetite? What's your hunger all about? A few weeks ago, I'll finish with this one. I'm driving to my friend's house, listen to a worship song, fantastic. And he goes off the chorus, off the normal words, and he just starts worshiping God himself in his own words. And he says, God, the worship singer says, God, I know you are my healer. And I just thought, wow, maybe, you know, God's healed him of something. He really got a revelation of that, because you could feel the anointing of it, what he was saying to God coming through. But then the next thing he said, I know you as my provider. And bang, the glory of God just filled the car, filled my heart and life. And God just said to me again, Wayne, I'm your provider. And wow, it was a real emotional experience. I started to cry. I had to stop the car. Just the overwhelming emotion of now I know Jesus as my provider, but this was, and it was a reminder, but more than just a reminder and another confirmation. It was another revelation built on what I already know. And it was fantastic. But then the third declaration he came out with, he says, God, I know you are my Father. And then I stopped the car, got out, let down on the side of the road, their face down, crying my eyes out. Those of you that know me, you knew my dad died when I was very young and I grew up without a father. And one of the first revelations Jesus gave me that night in that football field when I got saved was that he's my dad. The nights I'd cry myself to sleep, wishing I knew I had a father, you know, and someone to advise me, help me, discipline me, show me the way, teach me. I didn't have any of that. I had four older sisters and a mother, man. I had five women bouncing me off the walls in Trinidad. And it was tough as a young lad, as a young teenager. But that night, I am your father, was life-changing. And suddenly he said it to me again. I'm your father, Wayne. I'm your provider. Wow. Kadosh. I've known this for 40 odd years. But this was a new one. This was another level on the foundations that he'd already built. This was something that's kept me running the race these last few months in the challenges and the issues that we face in what we do. And you know, it's just been incredible that he's always there. He always gives us what we need. And maybe this morning, I don't know what your need is, friend, but I do know it's Jesus. That's for sure. We all need him. We all need a new touch. We all need a new breath of life, of his breath in our souls. We all need a new encounter with his presence and his glory and his beauty and his love in our lives, a new revelation. Let me challenge you this morning. Ask, seek, knock. God, what you did before, you do it again and do it again and do it again. Like these angels, consistently encountering a new glimpse, a new revelation that's emanating out of your presence. Fill me, give it to me, change me, transform me, give me new revelation of who you are, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your incredible word this morning, Lord, how it can be read 1,000 times and get a new revelation every time, because it's your word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. It is eternal. It is never ending. It has layer upon layer of unending layers of revelation to us. No wonder the psalmist said, it is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Guide us, Lord. Show us this morning, Lord, that your desire to have fellowship with us. Lord, that in the dark days that we live in, we need your light of your presence in our lives. Help us to grasp and understand, Lord, what your word is challenging with us this morning. And to ask, to hunger, to once again, Lord, dare to believe that you want to get involved in our lives, that you want to touch us and change us and mold us into the image of the Son that you love, that you want to transform us from glory into ever-increasing glory, that you want to conform us to your image and your character and change us and cleanse us and prune us, Lord. Give us that experience of you once again. This week, Lord, let us have multiple encounters with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.